Today's daf in the Sechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf kuf yud beit, and yesterday we got up to the second word on this daf. Iboilo. So we've been talking about the types of people that could be included in Medichei Yir HaNidachat, which would not include women, not include children, not include shluchim, not include people that come from a different shevet, not include people that come from a different city, and so on. The other question is, more fundamental question is, what about if they were hutru me'aleihem? Well, I mean, why do we need people to come and to actually seduce others into avodas kochavim? What if they just, like, they made this the municipal worship of a Zora day, you know? Is that the same thing? Do we say davka vayadichu amrachmona the Torah specifies people that are mediach? And if you do it yourself, then there are no people that were mediach. Or, and that would mean lo shutru me'aleihem. Or is that just saying that if they became nidachim from within themselves, is also the HR is mediach them afilu utru me'aleihem? It doesn't mean necessarily other people. Says the Gemara, well, you see from our Mishnah the answer to that, don't you? I mean, it says in the Mishnah that if women or children were the ones that ended up doing the hadocha, then they're not considered to be iranidachat, they're considered to be yechidim. But if you tell me that the point is not that somebody was mediach them, so then, okay, so forget about the fact that it happens to be children or women. The point is they ended up doing something on their own. So fine, ignore the fact that it happens to be children or women. They, in the end, they did it. So am I. But so, in other words, you're telling me that if no one was the one who actually did it, because children aren't included in someone who did it, women aren't included in someone who did it. Okay. So no one did. So they did it themselves. But it says that they're not considered to be an iranidachat. Isn't that a clear proof? No, of course not, says the Gemara. It's totally different. Hanach bater nafshayu gurida. Look, the point is that the people that I'm asking you about were very committed to doing avodah zarah. The commitment came internally, but it was still a commitment. Mashen came. These people is a weak commitment, may be the point. That if you know that you're following women and children in doing this, it's like, you know, okay, you're going along with them. The kids are selling Yoshka lemonade. So buy some Yoshka lemonade from them. What's the big deal? Right? So that is not a commitment, but we see the whole idea over here is the depth of the commitment that comes from within you, from within people that you feel you want to follow, and not from Nashim Muktanim. So it's completely different. Okay, next thing in the Mishnah was, you need to have rov. Now, this is very strange, because, I mean, you've got a bunch of individuals. There's absolutely no way for you to know whether you have rov that did avodah zarah or not until after you do all of the judgment, right? So, in other words, you take a look at the end, you see, okay, we've got X number of people out of a total of population of Y, which were convicted in the Beis Din of doing avodah zarah. Is that more than half? Then fine. But until then, what do you do? I don't understand. I mean, it may take you months to deal with a city. It's got 10,000 people, and you're going to have to go 5,000 different batei cases and batei dinim and so on. What are you supposed to do until you know whether the chiyuv is a chiyuv of skila or the chiyuv is a chiyuv of cherev? I'm so confused. Say, hey, chiyuv dina. So what can you possibly do? Omer of Yehuda, look, what you do is you get to the bottom of the din. You paskin the din, but you do not actually carry out the din, and you put them into jail and you wait. Then if you see that the people that you've imprisoned are the rov, so now you know that everybody's chiyev is a chiyev of cherev and not a chiyev of skila. Fine. So then that makes them an ir hanidacha, and we now understand that we can carry out the din of the ear. So there's two separate dinim. First, we judge them as if they're yechidim. And then when we see that they're also the rov, okay, so then we have to get to the bottom of who the maidichim are. Do they have a din of your nidachas and so on? That's a different din. Says Ula, you can't do that. Because the nimtzatam anetinam shalelu, remember, one of the important dinim that we saw earlier in the Masechet is that we never create a situation where we have a death row. That's an insanity. It just tortures people and destroys the whole system of law, so that we always carry out a chiyav immediately, so that the person doesn't sit and think about the fact that he's going to be killed. So how can you do that to them? Now, it may take months before you finish their halacha, and they're going to be sitting in prison on like the equivalent of some American barbarism of a death row. I mean, we're not a third world country. Therefore, I've got a better idea, says Ula. The point is that we give them the din of Yechidim as long as they still have a chazaka of Yechidim. So we don them, and we carry out the din. Danin v'soklin, v'danin v'soklin. If it turns out that at that point they are a rov, so from this point on, everybody else is nidain v'cherev, and we now go and take a look and see what is the din of the city as a whole. That's what we do. Itma. Rabbi Yochanan amar danin v'soklin, danin v'soklin. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, indeed, Ula is correct. And we would simply carry out the din on the chazaka that they're yechidim, and then if it changes, it changes from that point forward. Whereas Rish Lakish Amar, no. What we do is we set up a tremendous number of bate dinim at the same time, and because of that, we could have hundreds of bate dinim, and that way we won't have to be ma'ane et hadin. Any? The Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Yossi, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, doesn't it say in the pasuk "Vo'etzeta et ha'ish ha'hu o et ha'isha ha'hi el sha'arecha"? So what is that talking about? This is talking about a yochid, and it says you can only take out an individual to the shah, but you cannot do a din on a whole city at the same time. Iata motziko la'ir kula l'sha'arecha. You cannot have actually the whole city being taken out to the sharim of that city. Why? Because the sharim of that city is what? A Sanhedrin Ketana. A Sanhedrin Ketana is Esrim Veshloisha. But only a Sanhedrin Kedela is Dan the Irani Dachas, because we saw that the halacha is before Ein Danim Lo et Irani Dachat Ela. So how are you supposed to take out the whole city, which may be an ir nidachas, judge them as if they're yechidim as beskila, or wait for the whole time, but then if you wait for the whole time, you're judging the ir nidachat as a bezden of esrim v'shlosha. And it says beferish, you cannot do that. You need to go to Yerushalayim. So what it is that you're paskening over here, Rish Lakish, makes no sense. You're right. That can't be what he said. What he said was, first, we look into the din before paskening. So if it turns out that most of the people are looks like that we would have to pasken, that they were Ovid Avod Azara, so then we have to go up to the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. There we go through the din to get to the Psak, Gamrilu l'denayu, and then we kill them on the basis of Yerani Dachas, which is Becherev. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah. Hakei take et yoshvei ha'ir. So now, we said that that includes even people that were passing by that became part of the city. Now, l'maisa, the Braita, makes it clearer. Hachameret v'hagamelet. So you've got these caravans that are going from one location to another location, and they happen to make a stopover in this city. Lanu betocha. So they end up staying over in this city, and they ended up doing avodah zarah together with the city. What defines whether they are part of the city? 30 days. im dishtahu sham shloshim yom. So then they're considered to be part of the cities, and they go with the rov, and their misa is a misa of sayef, and they lose their money, as if they had lived in the city. But if the stayover was less than 30 days, so then they're not part of the Irani Dachas, they are Yechidim, and they have a din of skila, no matter how many other people in the city are involved, and mamonam palat, their money is theirs, and passed on to their heirs. Now, the problem is that the Mishnah Bava Basra says, Kam ba'yeh b'yir v'yeh ka'anshe ya'ir. How long do you have to be in a city in order to pay taxes? It says you're considered to be a member of the city only after living there for 12 months. Shnei Masar Chodesh. So why over here are we saying that you're part of the city even in 30 days? Amar Rava Lokasha, there's completely two different issues over here. The question is whether you are Yoshvei Ha'ir or whether you are B'nei Ha'ir. Now, that's a different issue. In order to be chayev in taxes, so then you have to be an actual Ben Ha'ir. So, halam havi mi B'nei Mata, so to be actually a upstanding citizen of this city. That takes 12 months. But in order to be Yoshvei Ha'ir, if you've been hanging around there for 30 days, that's enough to be a Yoshvei Ha'ir. And that's the way that the Pasuk defines the Irani Dachat, Yoshvei Ha'ir Ha'ir. And we can prove it, because V'atanya, Hamudar Hana'a Mibnei Ha'ir. We had the issue of Nidorim. If somebody says that I refuse to get any type of benefit from the B'nai Ha'ir. So if you're B'nai Barak, I don't want to have anything to do with you, and I refuse. What would that include? So if there's anyone that's been there for 12 months, then your neder is ha, an usher le'anot man. But pochot mikan, if it's less than 12 months, then you are allowed to be nene from there. But if the neder was, I refuse to accept any kind of benefit from a Yoshvei Ha'ir, then im nishtar shloshim yom asur le'anot mimenu, pochot mikan mutar le'anot mimenu. So you see clearly that there's a tremendous difference la'alacha between a Ben Ha'ir and a Yoshvei Ha'ir. And this is exactly what Rava was trying to explain, that since the pasuk over here talks about Yoshvei Ha'ir Ha'i, it therefore is a reference to 30 days. Next words that we remember, hacharim ota that kol asher ba. So, the difference between destroying it and everything that's in it. So, Tana Rabbana, hacharim ota. So, ota means only the city. But let's say, people who did not do Avodah Zarah, and they own property, but it's not in the city. It's actually outside of the city. But that's not included. So, prat l'nichsei tzadikim shebechutzala. So, if they're Naftali, sweetheart, you want to mute, please? Yeah, I'll do it for you. Okay. So if the tzaddikim own things that have nothing to do with this city, so these are people that we said it's got to be talking about tzaddikim, so we're applying what we knew from before. So if there were tzaddikim and they owned property outside of the city, so it was given over to other people to take care of for him, whatever, so then it is not chayev to be destroyed. But then we darshan, that's the ota. But when it says kol asher ba, that means if the property is in the city, then even if it's nichsei tzaddikim, then it needs to be destroyed, even though they didn't do avodah zarah, because they're part of the city, as we'll see later. Then when it says kol shlala, we said shlala means shlala, but not shlal shamayim. And when it says kol shlala, now what is kol? What is that adding? Kol shlala means that anything that can be associated with this city, even if it's not currently in the city, which is therefore must be referring to the nechasim of the people that were of it, the ones that were the Rishayim in the city, even that property should be brought into the city and be burned together with Betoch Rechava. Om Rabbi Shimon. And remember, Rabbi Shimon is the one who is Dorish Taima Dekrua, and he lets us understand the logic behind what it says in the Torah. So he suggests, Mipnei Ma Amra Torah, Nichsei Tzadikim Shebetocha Yovdu. I mean, why is it fair for people who didn't do any kind of Avodah Zarah to have their property destroyed just because they were in the city? Ah, ask yourself, says Rabbi Shimon, Mi garam lahem shiaduru betocha. How in the world are people allowing themselves to live in that city? You're living where? Manhattan? What in the world would make you live in Manhattan? You gotta be crazy. Well, it's my money. It's my job. It's my apartment. I mean, I can't give all of that up. So your money seduced you into living in horrible places, places where there'll be oved avedus kachovim. So therefore, mamonam, l'fichach mamonam avad. That explains why the Torah says, destroy the money that imprisoned them in this city, along with the rest of the city. Omar Mar, now you said before, et kol shlala tikpots, kol shlala includes even the nechasim that are not in the city, if they belong to the Rishaim. And it says, bring it in, tikbots. So Omar Abchista, what this means is, it has to be nikbatsim litocha. So it has to be the type of property that you could actually bring into the city in order to burn it, but not if there's no way to get it into the city. So it's too far away, it's connected, whatever, that's not included. That's one approach. Another approach in the Rishonim is, and it seems to be the Rambam, is that if this was Nikbatsin Latocha, meaning this property at least had been in this city at one point, now the Tzaddik exported it and he gave it to somebody in a different place to hold for him or whatever, or he's doing business in this other city, then they're not going to be burned. But the nikbats betocha of the Rishayim would be burned. Omer of Chista, this is fascinating because it's nogea chometz bePesach, the next piece that we're learning. And over here, the question is, if you have pikdonot, remember we have exactly this issue of a goy who gave a pikdon to a ben Yisrael or vice versa. A Yisrael gave a pikdon to a goy of chometz during Pesach. So suppose we have pikdonot of anshe irani dachas. They are mutter. Now, that is a very opaque ruling because it could mean different things. You're saying the pikdonot in the irani dachat, the pikdonot of the irani dachat in another place. Hey, chidomi, what are you referring to? Ilema di ir acheret itanhu begapva. If we're talking about property that is not part of this city, and it was brought here, deposited, somebody asked you to keep something for him, and you happen to live in the Irani Dachat, that you're telling me that that's mutter. I mean, that's sort of obvious, isn't it? I mean, of course it's mutter. It isn't part of Shlala. It's not owned by somebody in the city. So it just happens to be in the city. Why would I think that there's a chiyuv to burn it? So that can't be what it's referring to when Rav Chisda said that halacha. So must be that Rav Chisda was talking about the property of the Irani Dachas, didhu, that was now given to someone in a different city who was asked to take care of it. So he is a deposit, basically, or it's in a lawyer's rishos until it's used to pay for the whatever, anything like that. All of those things, it's in a different city. So then you're telling me that it's mutter. But why? I thought if it belongs to Rishayim, it's not mutter, as long as it's possible to bring it into the city. So we said it's not mutter if it's Rishayim. And if it's enigbatsim l'tocha, so then we already know that. You just said that a minute ago. So what is Rav Chisda now adding with this new halacha? So I'm saying, well, you misunderstand. Oh, la olam di ira acheret emafkedei betocha. He's talking about you said something that we don't need to say, but we do. Because what we're talking about over here is someone from another city, and he gave his things, let's say it's chametz, he gave these things to the city that was the Ir Ani Dachas, and he asked them to take care of it for him. So, why would we say that Rav Chisda tells me and needs to tell me that the halacha is that it's not burned? Because what we're talking about over here is where he was mekabel achrayut. Now, in a case, if you're mekabel achrayut on something, so let's say if it were coming to the din of chametz per Pesach, that would be enough to be mechayev you to burn the chametz, because the very fact that you're responsible for it makes it the equivalent of your chametz when it comes to the din of chametz. So you might think the same thing is true over here. So ma datema kiven de kabel leachrayut, it's considered to be your own chametz. Kamash malan, that since it doesn't really belong to you, when it comes to the din of shlalah, that's a chiddush. And Rav Chisda comes to tell me that chiddush, that even though the fact that you're chayav for it is enough to make it yours when it comes to your chametz, it does not make it yours when it comes to the property of the Ir HaNidachas. It's not called shlalah. Rav Chisda, how about something that is owned by a partnership? Let's say you have an animal that belongs partially to someone from the Ir Ani Dachas and partially to someone who lives in a different city. So the din is you cannot eat. If you shechted that animal, there's no way that you could eat it. Masha Enkein, if we're talking about a isa, so you've got a doe, and it's partially owned by a partner who lives in the Ir Ani Dachas, and the other half is owned by a partner in the bakery who lives in a different city. The din is that that can be split into two, and the part that belongs to the Ir Ani Dachas is usher, and the other part would be given to the other person, would be mutter. Why is it that the dough is mutter, but the meat of the animal is not mutter? That's very simple. It's because a behema commandalo pligadamya. Look, if you're going to be actually shechting this animal, the animal, in order to become muteret, has to be entirely shechted. You can't shecht half an animal. Now, the part of the animal that's being killed by the shechita is simply being destroyed as part of the Ir Ani Dachas, that part that belonged to the person who isn't able to eat it because it's usher. And therefore, the shechita cannot be mater this animal at all. You can't split an animal into two, but you can split an isa into two, and therefore isa commanded pligadami. So we viewed it as if part of it is owned by one and part of it is owned by the others. Big machlokas here, whether this is nogea the din of breira, and if it's a halakha d'oraisa, it's a big problem because we don't keep breira on a d'oraisa. We only are semich on breira on a d'rabbanan, or whether this has nothing to do really with the din of breira. By Rav Chisda, a behema from an Ir Ani Dachas. Now, I understand what Rav Chisda said before, that he said, look, you cannot split an animal shechita in such a way that the shechita that would not be matir the animal b'achila, and as far as the Ir Ani Dachas is concerned, it is therefore not a shechita that is matir. But would that shechita be good enough to take off the din of tumas nevela? Because when it comes to tumas nevela, there's nothing about the Ir Ani Dachas that says that you cannot take off a din of tumas nevela. There's only a din in Ir Ani Dachas that says you won't be able to eat this behemoth. So maybe, vis-a-vis the din of nevela, it would be okay. The Torah is saying, lefi chorev, okay? So when it says lefi chorev, then that would mean that what's the difference whether you shechted it or what's the difference whether you stabbed it with a cherev? Basically, this is a way of destroying it. So, I mean, if you're telling me I destroyed it, then that would be the same as stabbing it. If it weren't in the Ir Ani Dachas, what would be the din of stabbing an animal? You'd be turning it into an nevela. So if you do shrita in an irani dachas, maybe it's just viewed as stabbing it with a cherev, and therefore it would not be matayer it. Or do we say, now wait a minute, there's two different issues. You can look at a shrita as a way of killing an animal, but there's a different element of the shrita, which has nothing to do with killing it. It has to do with the removal of the din of nevelis. You're used to thinking that those two things are the same, but they're not. There's a way in which the shrita acts as the executioner. There's a way in which shrita acts as a matir for achila, which doesn't apply here. And there's a way that the movement of a knife in that fashion removes tumas nevelis, right? So maybe that's how to look at it. Oh, Dilma, given the shachata mahanya la shrita. My, what would be the din? This is a brilliant, but a very complex kind of question. It has a lot to do with how to understand the dinim of shrita and how to understand the impact of shrita on the dinim of nevela. You could see how brilliant this is. Completely opens up the question of what the purpose of that knife is instead of just keeping it a simple, well, either it was shechted or it wasn't shechted. If you can't eat it, then it's basically a dead animal. No, it's not that simple. Take it. So indeed, that question still remains up in the air. We don't have a clear raya for that. Now I got another question. How about the hair of Nashim Tzidkaniyot? They didn't do any avodah zarah. Do we burn their hair or not? What? Says Rava, what the heck are you talking about? You burned anybody's hair? And if the person did do avodah zarah, there's a din to burn the hair? Let's say a woman in the city who was rishayot, it would be aser. Remember that the Torah says tikbots visarafta. All of those things that can be gathered into the square of the city, those are the things that you burn. But anything that is mechusser, that's davka, misha eno mechusser ala kvitza v'sreifa. Whatever can be gathered together, and now you burn it. But here, you need to first cut it. And that's not included. Yatza zed, in excluding things that are mechusser, talisha v'kvitza v'sreifa. First you have to cut the hair, and then you have to gather it into the Rechova shall hear and burn it. That's not included, which means we would never burn hair. And I don't know what you're talking about. What's the difference between Rishiyot or Tzidkaniyot? Hello, my Rav, you don't understand. Rav Yosef was talking about a sheitel. Sheitel? People wore sheitel. I thought it's us who wear sheitel. Anyway, well, it's Rishiyot after all. No. So we're saying no. The question is that Tzidkaniyot that have a sheitel. Would that sheitel be considered to be part of the person, or is it just another thing that's owned? And anything that's owned, which can be burned, would mean that we'd be burning those sheitels. Of course, all of this came to be true when everybody discovered that all of their sheitels must be avodah zarah sheitels and went to the Rechova Shalir a few years ago in Bnei Brak, and everyone burned their sheitels. That was all based, of course, on this irani dachas. But anyway, getting back to the real question over here, what's the din? Ask the Gemara, well, what's the case? I mean, is this woman wearing the sheitel? I mean, it's no different than anything else that she's wearing. We don't take people's clothes off their back and burn their clothes, do we? We don't even take clothes that are not off of their back. That's considered to be part of the person's, not the person's possessions, it's part of the persona. It's the way that expresses himself. So it's kigufa damya. Well, that's talking about a sheitel that is not on her head. It's hanging on a sheitel head. So that's the question. Is it considered to be the equivalent of neches? That is, therefore, even if it's tzaddikim, we say that it's supposed to be taken to the Rechova and burned, and therefore would be avat? Or do we say, since a sheitel is taken off of that head and put on her head, it's basically considered to be a lavush? And if it's a lavush, it is secondary to her body and would not be burned. Take them. The Mishnah continued, et kol shalala. I don't know how long we should actually go. I mean, if we stop here, then we've only done the daf. essentially, we've done one daf. But it is pretty late. What shall we do? We'll go a little bit further, so we make a little bit, every day a little bit more. So hopefully, I mean, we're getting into some tough sugyas. So we're not necessarily going to be able to do both tapim. We could do some of them afterwards. That kol shlala tikbot sal toch lechova. So we said like the Mishnah, we have a brayta that says that ein la rechov, suppose it doesn't have rechova. The Mishnah said you make a rechov, but the brayta brings the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael, and he learns that the rechov is a condition defining the type of city that could become an ir nidachat in the first place. And therefore, says Rabbi Yishmael, if there's no rechov, there's no way to make it into an ir nidachat. That's part of the requirements that we're talking about over here. Rabbi Akiva says like the Mishnah, and if ein la rechov, we built a rechov. The rechov is only in order to do the burning, but it's not a condition of being an ir nidachat. So what are they arguing in? So Maris of Rabbi Shmuel holds, rechova is, what's that, mapike? It's rechov that has been there from the beginning, and it defines the city. Whereas Maris Savar, Rabbi Akiva holds, the rechov at this time of the sreifa. Hashtanami mashma. It could also be its rechov. There's no need to necessarily claim that it had to be the rechov that was there for the city. Now, the next thing we learned was, hayagdeshot sheba yipadu. So, Tana Rabbana, let's get the different dinim of Truma, Meiser Sheni, the halachas of Kisvei HaKadosh. So what we have over here, remember, is a number of different issues. First of all, we have an isser of causing any type of destruction of something that is Kadosh. Okay, so that's Lo Ta'aser Kein, LaShem Elokechem. Then we have the mitzvah of burning things that were part of an ir nidachat. Then we have the limitation of shlala, the Lord shlal shamayim, and then we have the additional limitation of ko behemta, which is the behema shlala, the lo behema shamayim. Now what, how do we balance out all of those inyanim? So Tana Rabban, hayuba kodashim. So let's say we have kodashim. What type of kodashim? If their kodashim is beyach, then we cannot actually burn them and kill them, and that would be usher, because they're no longer the shlala, right? They belong to Hegdash. But on the other hand, we can't bring it up on the Mizbeach either, as we're going to see, because of the din of Zevach Reshaim Toiva. We'll see this in Machlokas later. So we can't kill them, because it's inappropriate to do that action which we do for Avodah Zarah, and to do the same thing for Kodshei Shamayim. So therefore, what we do is we let them die. Let them die. It's machlokas whether that means machlisim otam to the, remember we have this halacha that we had about earlier, that we had about people that we weren't able to kill, but we put them into the kippah. So according to Rashi, it means that we put them into the kippah, but Rashi in other places says not like that. It says we just let them die by not feeding them. In the kippah, remember, we actually feed them things that cause the stomach ultimately to explode when they're given too much. Okay. Rabbi Shimon, if it's kachay bere kabayit. So kachay bere kabayit, that you can be podeh, and you can use the kachay bere kabayit. That's how Rashi understands it. Remember that we said before, it's a machlokas rishonim, and maybe we're paid to them and then destroy them. Trumot. Well, trumot, if it belongs to a kohen, it's still called kodesh, and it's inappropriate to burn kodesh. Remember, we never actually burn truma unless we know it's tmeah. So we just don't eat it, and we let it rot. Maaser sheni, which is called et hakodesh. So Maaser Sheni and Kisvei HaKodesh, which is actually things that you're not allowed to erase. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, that the din is, we say Yigan Nizu. Rabbi Shimon, we said in the Mishnah, okay, don't use it, put it into Gneza. Rabbi Shimon adds some new halacha, which is not clear what he's saying. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you forgot that besides the diyuk of shlala, velo shlal shamayim, it also says behemta, velo behemat shamayim, which would be what? Behemta, as opposed to a bechor and a maaser, that would not be its behema, because we don't call this the behema of the Irani Dachat, we call this the Bechor of the Irani Dachat. Shlala would mean Prat le Kesev of Hegdesh and Kesev le Maaser. Now tomorrow we will go through the Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, which is a bit complex, and see what exactly they're arguing about and how it is that we deal with Kesev Hegdesh and Kesev Maaser, which will involve us in a lot of complex Inyan, such as a Dovra Agurim Lamaman, or whether Kachibeta Kabayas is considered to be the Moment Bailim or not Moment Bailim, and so on. But I'd like to start over again from the top of Kufyut Beis Amud Beis. Just review that first, those first lines, so that we won't forget where we're holding when we go ahead. Okay, so in the Beishu, what did we learn? That if you have Hegdeshot, the Hegdeshot, you should be Podadan, and then the Truma is Yurakevo, Maisasheni, Kisvei HaKodesh, Yiganezu. That's what we said in the Mishnah. Let's understand that. Tanu Rabbanan, are you Kodashim? What type of Kachim? Well, let's say, if the Kachim is Beach, then they should be allowed to die. Now, we don't actually kill them, because they're not considered to be Shlal of the Irani Dachat. It says called Shlala. On the other hand, we're not able to use them. So whenever we have kachim that are unusable, we allow them to die. It doesn't mean that we kill them directly, allowing them to die, but pashas means knisa into the kippa, in which they're fed, and in a way that causes them to just explode. Kachi berakabayit. Kachi berakabayit, we can be poda, and as we spoke about yesterday, the question is what that means. Does it mean that we're poda them, and then we destroy them, and we actually kill them? The money is capable of being used? Not clear, but we had two lashonets, remember, in our Rashi defines that. Trumot yirgakevu, and we're going to go through each one of these things. Maisasheni kitve akodesh yiganezu, and Rabbi Shimon Omer, that's not clear what Rabbi Shimon means. Rabbi Shimon is very opaque. Rabbi Shimon says, it says in the pasuk, behem ta, ko behem ta, meaning only the behemot of the Yirani Dachat, which doesn't include Bechor and Meiser. That's Meiser Behema. Very confusing. I mean, I thought it says Shlala. We said already that not Shlal Shamayim. Why do we need a special pasuk for Bechor and Meiser? They're all to be described in the Gemara. Shlala means not including the money of Hegdesh and the money of Maaser, which apparently has a Kedusha. We're going to go through each one of these things separately. So let's take Tanakam. Omar Mar, how you ba kachim? It depends. Kachim is Beach Yamutu. Now the problem is, why in the world should we make sure that they die? Why can't we use them? Let them hang around until they get a mum. Yiru achista evu, and then we'll sell them, and then we got all this money to be used for nidava, which means nidvas tzibur, which is called kayat hamizbeach, and those are korbanot ola that go to the mizbeach as a nidvas tzibur. Says Rabbi Yochanan, we can't do that because we're not going to be able to use their money, even if we're paid to them. Why? Because since zevach reshaim to eva, so it's disgusting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring a korban from a Rasha who doesn't do teshuva. So because of that, even the money of it that we would get is considered to be a teiva. And what would be the point of letting it get a mum and be paid it? We wouldn't be able to use the money of the pidyon for another korban anyway. Reish Lakish says, no. That's not the reason. The reason is because we're talking about specifically the type of korban that actually belongs to the owner, and therefore it's not excluded by the pasuk of shlala. Velo shlal shamayim. Ari, we love you, but we need you to mute. And even your sneezes are exciting, but what can we do? And therefore, it would be talking about a case like that, and it's Momon Balin, which we're going to explain. How would it be Momon Balin? We'll see. And the reason that over here, the Tanakama is saying that we cannot actually use it, and it's considered to be the Shalala, is because we're talking about Kochub Shechayav Bachrayutan. So what does that mean? If somebody gave a korban in which he was mechayev himself by saying, Hare Allah, he didn't say this animal should be a korban. He says, I take it upon myself to bring a korban. Then he sets aside this animal as that korban. If something happens to that animal, he's going to have to replace it. And since he's going to have to replace it, it's considered to be his momon. Now remember that we have a concept of Dover HaGorem LeMomon, something which, if you don't have it, is going to cost you money. And if you do have it, it completely takes the place of that money. So let's say you would owe $1,000 for this animal. If that animal is not here, it's going to cost you $1,000. If you have that animal, it is the equivalent of a check for $1,000. Therefore, it's considered to be yours, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says Momon Balin, and that's the reason that you cannot allow that animal to walk away. So that's why we don't use it. It's considered to be shlala. So he doesn't agree, for some reason, with Rabbi Yochanan's simple explanation. Instead, he has to define the Mishnah as referring to a specific case, which is always problematic. Why would I want to explain the Mishnah as referring only to a behema where the bialim is chayev on it, and it's his achrayut? So that the Gemara, of course, is going to ask, because it seems a very, very unusual way, if you have a simple explanation of Zefer Shem Toeva, why make something so complicated? Ask the Gemara, it's not only complicated, it's wrong. How can you say that the Tanakama is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that if it's Momon that you're Chayev Bachrayutan, it's considered to be your own, that's Rabbi Shimon. And remember, Rabbi Shimon argues on the Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon ended up saying just a few lines ago that what? That it's Behemta Velo Behemat Hegdesh, right? So then he apparently argues with the Tanakama for whatever reason, but he's clearly not the Tanakama, and therefore it must be that the Reish is anybody but Rabbi Shimon. So don't try telling me the Tanakama is Rabbi Shimon. Okay, you're right. Fine. I changed my mind. But I still stick with what the basic idea, says Reish Lakish, is that we're talking about a specific case. And the case is where the animal is considered to be the moment of the bialim. All right, so it's not the case that I said before, but there is a way to explain it, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Remember, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Shita is that since kachim kalim are given to the owner to eat, because all the other korbanos only the kohanim eat, right? But the basar of kachim kalim goes to the owner. That makes it theirs. And therefore, he holds kachim kalim is mum and bialim. So if you hold Aliba de Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and we're referring specifically to a behema, which is kachim kalim, I understand that's a little sticky. How do I have a right to say that the Mishnah is only talking about kachim kalim? But I don't see any other explanation, which, of course, we're going to have to understand what's wrong with the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's simply unusable because of Zever Roshem Toeva. But if it's kachim kalim, now it works. So one second, Reish Lakish. So what are you saying? Only if it's kachim kalim. But what would be the date if it's kachim? Then what? Then we would be able to be paid to them? Is that what you're saying? Ma yipadu? So then how do you explain this brisa that is saying, but if it's kachim bet kabayit, then you could be put. Why do you have to talk about kachim bet kabayit? Why do you have to change from kachim isbeach to kachim bet kabayit if all you need to do is to change the type of kachim isbeach? It's crazy to go take a whole new case and say, but if it's kachim bet kabayit, just say, when is this true? Only if it's kachim kalim. But if it would be kachim kachim, so you're bringing an oila, let's say, so then the din would be yipadu. Doesn't make any sense for the brayta to change the whole case, is it? So adatani sefer kachim bet kabayit yipadu, all you need to do is lifleg v'lisna bedida. All you need to say is like this. Bameh dvarim amurim, that we say in the Reisha that the animal should be allowed to die in the kippah b'kachim kalim. Avo b'kachim kodashim yipadu. But to suddenly pivot to a whole new area of kachim b'kachim kabayit, it makes no sense. It does. It does make sense, you know? I'll tell you why. Because we can't simply say, Bameh dvarim amurim b'kachim kalim avo b'kachim kachim yipadu. Because listen, the kachim kachim would include a korban chatas, right? And we're dealing with an irani dachat. Now, if we're dealing with an irani dachat, then that means that we've killed out half of the city. Because we needed to have at least a, well, if we've killed out half of the city, then that would mean that, I mean, there's certainly some chatas there that we had killed the owner. But that would mean that it's a chata shemetu ba'alav. What's the din of a chata shemetu ba'alav? Rabotai? Yamutu. That becomes completely usur. So how could I say yipadu? So I, you know what? I have to go through such a kvetch. I'd have to say, Bameh dvarim amurim b'kachim kachim, where we're talking about, I mean, b'kachim kalim, but b'kachim kachim, where there's no chatas, then yipadu. But if there is a chatas, then not, oh, come on, that's too complicated. So it's much easier for me to just keep the Mishnah for dummies. So I say, Bameh dvarim amurim b'kachim mizbeach, kachim b'erek abayit, not, because that's a simple, straightforward differentiation between types of hadash mashain cane. To start getting into what type of carbon it is, that's going to be very sticky. So, kimadika chatash tamashu ba'alea, delamita azalo psikala. You can't make a straightforward distinction. So, it's easier to do it this way. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan's explanation is obviously much simpler and much more straightforward. So, I understand why Rabbi Yochanan would not want to say Reish Lakish's wild pshat over here. So Bishlama Rabbi Yochanan, of course he doesn't say like Reish Lakish. You can simply say a simple explanation of Zevach Reshaim Toiva, and that's it. But why in the world would Reish Lakish go to such lengths of needing to say we're only talking about that case where it's Kachim Kalim and it's Alibid Rabbi Yosef Glili and so on and so forth. And the only reason we didn't mention the difference between Kachim Kachim is because of oh man. Just say straightforward, Zevach Reshaim Toeva. Why doesn't he like that pshat? Ah, says Reish Lakish, I'll tell you why I don't like that pshat. Because Ki Yamrina Zevach Reshaim Toeva, you know when the Torah says that. Where did the Torah ever say that anything that comes from the Zevach Reshaim Toiva, including Kesev that was Poda, doesn't say that. The Zevach Reshaim Toiva, the animal that the Russia brings, that's a Toiva. What do you say? Any money that was ultimately generated by it and that something else was bought by it, that's not included. So, Hani Miliechad Itnu Be'inayu, that's only where you have the actual animal of the Zevach Reshaim. But in this case, by definition, we're going to be paid it, turning it into cash, and then turning that cash into something else. That doesn't continue to be viewed as Zevach Reshaim. Kivan deishtani ishtani. It's something completely different. So I had to figure out some explanation of why we can't be put at the kachim. That's why I said it must be talking about kachim kalim. Okay. Now let's get to that opaque statement of Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon brings in this new diak in the pasuk we never heard of before, kol behemta. So it's only the behemot of the irani dachat, but not other behemot. And what is the other behemot? The chora meiser. I mean, what in the world? I don't understand. We had a pasuk that said shlala, v'lo shlal shamai. Fine. Now, how did Bechor and Meiser get a whole special limut for themselves, and why do we need it? They are like regular Kachim Kalim. They should have the same din. Why would we need another Pasek? So, first of all, what are we talking about? Are we talking about Bechor and Meiser that do not have a mum? They're Tamimi. What's the din of a Bechor and Meiser that are Tamimi? They have to be brought on the Mizbeach, right? So then they're not the shlal of the irani dachat, they belong to the mizbeach. They are shlal shamayim, because obviously Rabbi Shimon does not hold, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that kachim kalim are moment violent. Bechor and Meiser, of course, are kachim kalim. But he's taking for granted That's why he needs this new pasuk, as we'll see. He's taking for granted that for sure it's not considered to be the moment violent. So it ought to be excluded from not the word bemta, it ought to be excluded from the word shlala, like we said up until now. Shlala velo shlal shamayim. Why does Bechorah Meiser get a whole separate pasuk to tell me that they're not included? We've already said lo shlal shamayim, so I guess we're not talking about tmimim, right? Okay, so we've got to be talking about balei mumim. So now, balei mumim, what's the din of the balei mumim? The din of the balei mumim is that the owners eat it. There's no din of pidyon. The owners eat it. So then, okay, so who does it belong to? It belongs to shlala. It belongs to the owners who are part of an ira nidachas. So then, why does Rabbi Shimon say that they're not going to be just burned together with the rest of the stuff of the ira nidachas? Omravina. So we've got a number of different approaches to how to understand Rabbi Shimon. Ravina says, I'll tell you what Rabbi Shimon is talking about. Rabbi Shimon is referring even to Baalei Mumim, and he holds that that is not considered to be the shlal of the Ira Nidachat. Why? It belongs to the person who owns it, and he's going to be eating it himself, because this additional word of Behemta tells me that it's not a matter of ownership. It's a matter of reference. Mi shenechal b'torat behemta. When somebody eats this animal, he identifies this as the animal of the ira nidachat. But when someone eats a Bechorah Meiser, it's not called the animal of the ira nidachat. It's called Bechorah Meiser. That's its primary identification. Therefore, it's not that we're still allowing the mumen of the Rishayim to be around and to be referred to and people continuing to live with it. That's not what it's called. It's called a Bechorah Meiser. And therefore, there's a completely new element, says Rabbi Shimon, that extends the halacha of things that are not burned either because of shlala, which this is, or because of behemta, which this is not. And that is a tremendous chiddush. That's what Rabbi Shimon is coming to say. And therefore, if it's a baal mum, then the din is that I need a new pasuk to tell me, that's halacha, that it's not ne'echal in the getter of the ira nidachas is bani, yotzu elu, she'in ne'echalim b'torat behemta, but rather they are referred to as b'chor Meiser, and we don't think of it as the animal of the ira nidachat, in which case, for all intents and purposes, we're treating it as shlal shamayim. The behemta extends the concept of this not being yours, in terms of yours, the ira nidachats. That is Ravina's approach. Now, Shmuel argues on Ravina. Now listen, this gets very complicated because of the fact that we have a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, and then we have a machlokas between Shmuel and Ravina about what the machlokas is between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, and it's going to get more complicated, as we'll see, as we go on. To know the difference between Shmuel and Ravina also becomes a question. So in other words, we need to keep in mind the fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, and then the machlokas about, well, what was that machlokas between Ravina and Shmuel? And then we're going to have to figure out, how do we understand the machlokas between Ravina and Shmuel in the understanding of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan? So it's going to be three layers, okay? So far, we're keeping it simple. So we understand the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. And we have, so far, Ravina's approach to what the din is about the Meiser and Bechor. And Ravina says we're talking about Baalei Mumim, and we can exclude the Baalei Mumim from the Behema. Behemta, in other words, only the Behemta, Torah's Behemta. And we could exclude also the the Tumim, fine, that we're not talking about that. That could be that that is considered to be Shlalat, depending on whether you hold like Rabbi Yosef Aglili or not. That's something else. Upliga de Shmuel, which of course makes it yet one more level, because it's not clear how the machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Aglili and the Rabbanan about whether Kodshei Kalim belongs to the Balim, how that would affect the approach over here. Because if we have this Behemta, then you have to decide whether that Behemta would appear and apply even if it belongs to the Balim, but it's not eaten b'taras behemta, which would mean maybe even if you hold like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Rabbi Shimon is saying that it would be excluded. So there may be a machlokas, a sub-machlokas, about whether this applies dafka to the case where it's not Rabbi Yosef Aglili or even Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Now this pshat in Rabbi Shimon by Ravina is different than Shmuel's pshat in Rabbi Shimon. Because Shmuel said that actually, it's a very strange statement, everything should be brought on the Mizbeach, and everything should get a pidyon. Huh? What the heck? Mike Omer, what's he talking about? Hoki Kamar. No, he's telling you something like a conundrum. You have to figure out what he means. He's saying, basically, according to Rabbi Shimon, any kachim that is korev kushu tam, v'nifte kushu balmum, is excluded from the word shalal. So that would mean even kachim kalim, which would be redeemed if there's a balmum, and they would be brought on the Mizbeach, all of that is Karev Kushutam, and it would get a pidyon if it's a Balmum. That is, by definition, not Shlal of the Iranidachat, it is the Shlal of the Shamayim, because the very fact that it's never yours, either you're going to have to give it to the Mizbeach, and even if it gets a mum and can't go to the Mizbeach, it's not going to be yours, you're still going to have to be poda it in order to make it yours. That proves that it is not the Iranidachat's money. But now, points out Shmuel, now we got a crazy situation. Because the Bechor and the Miser, even if right now it has a mum, I mean, right now it does not have a mum and it's Tom. But you have to ask yourself, is this really not mine? I mean, if anything happens to it, who's going to eat it? Me. So then I don't view that as belonging to the Shamayim. Something that belongs to the Shamayim is never incipiently mine. If I don't need to be paid to it, there's something very fishy about this. So therefore, what it's telling me is that it's not Shlal Shamayim. That's why Shmuel says that the general klal is, if it is both, if it's a tam, it's going to need pidyon. If it's a tam, it's going to be brought on the Mizbeach. And if it's not a tam, it's going to need pidyon. Then and only then it's excluded from shlala velo shlal shamayim. But if, even in its current state, it is a tam, and it's going to be put on the Mizbeach, that doesn't matter. Because since, if anything would happen to it, it's mine, and it would not require a pidyon, and as a matter of fact, you cannot be put it, there's no din lo yipadeh by a bechor and miser. There is no such concept of pidyon, and it's even usher in certain circumstances to try to be pidyon by changing its kedusha and so on. So if that's the case, I can't view it as shlal shamayim. Therefore, why would it not be part of the irani dachat's money, even while it is a tam and it's supposed to go to the mizbeach? Because that's the rule. Either it fits the concept of tam mizbeach, Balmum nifta, or it's not. So therefore, kol shekarev kishu tam v'nifta kishu balmum. That, yes, that's excluded from the word shlala v'lo shlal shamayim. But even if it's karev kishu tam, but it is not nifta, if it's balmum, and you get to eat it yourself, such as what? Bechor and Meiser. Exactly. That I don't know from shalal. I need to know that only from the special word of Behemta. And therefore, even the Bechor and Meiser that are Tamimim, and that would mean that according to Ravina, it would be excluded because it's Shlal Shamayim. Not according to the way I understand it, says Shmuel. It would not be excluded because the theoretical possibility of it being yours already means you cannot exclude it from Shlala. You see? Therefore, I say, Rabbi Shimon holds, you need a new pasuk of Bemta even to exclude the Tam. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Ravina. It's a very, very, I have to tell you, it's an extremely complex sugya that I am really simplifying to the point where I'm choshish, I'm oversimplifying, but it is such a complex sugya that for us to get into it in the context of a daf yomi, otherwise would be really impossible. So that is the machlokas between Ravina and Shmuel in the understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbana. Fine. Now, if that is the case, let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah, Trumot, Irkavu. You could leave them to rot, but you don't actually burn Truma. So the question is, whose Truma is this? Says Rav Chista, look, what we're talking about over here is Truma that has not as yet been given to the Kohen. So a Yisrael is holding this Truma. He's thinking of giving it to the Kohen, but he hasn't done it yet. So in that case, we're saying that we can't burn it because it isn't his. It doesn't belong to this Yisrael who lives in the town of this Ir HaNidachat. And therefore, how could you burn it with the other things? On the other hand, since it is possibly Truma v'Ir HaNidachat in the sense that, well, maybe the person that he would have given it to would be someone in town, you know? So we can't eat it either, because it has this connection to the Ir HaNidachat. But if the Truma was already given to a Kohen who lives in the Ir HaNidachat, then we should burn it, because it just is the money of the Kohen. And since it's Mamonehu, therefore the din is that it should be Tisaref. It's like anything else, right? If it's still in the hand of the Yisrael, so then it's like somebody else gave money for you to, or gave a chicken for you to watch. We said before, if it belongs to someone from outside of the city, we said it's not considered to be like Chometz BePesach, even if you took responsibility for it. It's not considered to be the money of the Ir HaNidachat. Says Rabbi Yosef, you can't say that, because look at the next thing in the Mishnah. If it's Maaser Sheni V'Kitvei HaKodesh Iganzu. Now, ask yourself, if you are a Yisrael, and you have Maaser Sheni, that's the equivalent of your being a Kohen and having Truma, right? The Maaser Sheni belongs to you as the Yisrael. And the Kohen who has Truma, the Truma belongs to him. Now, if you're going to tell me HaMaaser Sheni B'Yad Yisrael is precisely the same as Truma is B'Yad Kohen, and what does it say to do with it? It doesn't say that you should burn it. It says Yiganesu. Now, you said if it was already given to the Kohen, we should burn it. So how do you explain that? Why don't we burn the Maaser Sheni in the hands of the Yisrael then? So clearly that's not true. Rav Chista never could have said that. Okay, you're right. Very nice. Made a mistake. Ela'i Itmar. You know what? I must be understanding Rav Chista wrong. If Rav Chista said something, it was said over improperly. It must be, it goes like this. Hachi Itmar. Omer Rav Chista, Loshano Ela Truma B'Yad Kohen. That actually was the opposite. When do we say that the Truma should be left Yirakevu? We should let it just rot. That's only where it was already in the hands of the Kohen, and it's part of the Ir HaNidachat, and we ought to burn it, but it's not polite to burn Truma, because Truma has elements of Kedusha in it. Remember, we always try to avoid burning Truma wherever we can, right? This is the same thing, especially this year, the whole Mishnah discussion, what do we do in a year like this, where Erev Pesach is a Shabbos, and there's Truma, and it's chametz. We're not sure if we're going to finish it. At what point do we have to burn the truma? We burn the truma before Shabbos, and what if we're wasting it? Okay, so there's a whole issue of not burning truma. Fine, so it should be burned, but we don't burn it because of the covet of the truma. So we leave it to rot. That's what Rav Kista was saying. But if the truma is Biyad Yisrael, then it should be used by giving it to a kohen in a different town. It wasn't part of an inyanei dachat. So then we should actually give it away. So this is the opposite of what we said before, that we thought that truma Biyad Yisrael is usur because of the possibility that it's partially connected to the kohen in the inyanei dachat. Maybe you would give it to a kohen. What's the difference? Maybe. It's in the hands of the Yisrael. Make sure you give it to a kohen who's not in the inyanei dachat. So the fact that the Yisrael was holding it, that's no different than somebody asking you to watch his chicken. That doesn't mean that we burn the chicken. Fine. It's not awesome. Now, look, we have it's not a mission, even though it's a stan, but we have a brayta that says, Isa shomasa sheni petura min achala. Now we're going to see how this is nogea our Mishnah. If you've got dough that is actually made from maaser sheni, then you do not have to take off chala from that dough, because this is not considered to be your arisotechem, divrei Rabbi Meir. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, you're chayev. Now, Rav Chista says here also an explanation of where does this appear in classic Rav Chista fashion. So Rav Chista says, well, where's this machlokas? Dafka maaser sheni in Yerushalayim. Over there, if the dough is in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Meir holds, well, maaser sheni in Yerushalayim is considered to be momon gavoa. Doesn't belong to you. It's not arizotechem, and you're not even allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. Therefore, it's not yours. If it's not yours, you're not chayav chala. Whereas the rabbanan savre, it's called momon hadyat. But if this maaser sheni is back in your city, bigvulin, everybody holds that it is actually potter. And there's no machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, because in this case, it's for sure not yours, because you're not even allowed to eat it. See, if it's in Yerushalayim and you're allowed to eat it, so then the Rabbanan say, okay, so then it's considered to be yours. And Rabbi Meir says, even so, it's still momon gavoa, but if it's outside Yerushalayim, you're not even allowed to eat it. So therefore, how would that be considered to be arisotechem? That's the simple pshat. Rashi also brings that maybe the point over here is the reason that it's not considered to be chayav b'chala is not because of arisotechem, but because it's not considered to be at all food yet, because it's inedible. And if it's inedible, there's no din of chala. It's about enough kaminas between these two approaches. But again, this is not our main sugya over here. Now, we still haven't seen how this is nogea our Mishnah. We're getting there. Rabbi Yosef says, look at our Mishnah, and you'll see that that cannot be true, what Rav Chista said, to explain the machlokas of the Rabbanan here with Rabbi Meir. Why? Because in our Mishnah, it talks about maaser sheni, v'kitvei hakodesh. What does it say to do with them in the inyanei dachat? It says you have to begonaze them. Now, explain to me what we're talking about. Are we talking about maaser sheni in Yerushalayim? And it's saying, if maaser sheni is in Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim becomes an inyanei dachat, excuse me, but that's ridiculous. Yerushalayim cannot be an inyanei dachat. So mi havi inyanei dachat, remember, one of the important things we had back in Meruba, asara dvarim nemru b'Yerushalayim v'zu achat mehem. Eina naaseit irani dachat. So it's clearly not referring to maaser sheni in Yerushalayim. Okay. Are we talking about, therefore, that this is the maaser sheni of a city that became an irani dachat? And before it became an irani dachat, it was brought into Yerushalayim. And now the question is it considered to be? Oh, for heaven's sakes. Siri, go away.
Shush.
My gosh, now it's gotten worse. Siri is now invoking AI. Huh. Blocking the screen. Do you want the AI to explain this, Gamora? Well, we can try. Okay. So, it must be talking about another city, and It's My Sushaney was brought into Yerushalayim. Well, that doesn't make sense either, because once something is brought into Yerushalayim, the mechitzot of Yerushalayim grab it, and now it becomes part of the Isser, only of taking out of Yerushalayim. So if you'd never be able to take it out of Yerushalayim, then obviously it would never be able to be considered to be part of the Ir HaNidachat. Because even if it would belong to someone in the Ir HaNidachat, remember, we said that only things that can be brought back to the Ir HaNidachat and burned would be included in burning Berchov HaShalir. But if it's not Nikvetzet B'tocha, there's no way to bring it back. You're not even allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. So that would can't possibly be that there's an Isser on the Maaser Sheni. So therefore, we're not talking about Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Okay, so what are we talking about? Maaser Sheni in the Gvulim. And what does it say? It says Yigan Ezel. So then that means that the Tana of the Mishnah holds that Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim holds that the money is considered to be the money of the person who owns the Maaser Sheni and not of Gavoah. You said everybody holds it would be Gavoah. You see over here that the Maaser Sheni would actually be usher to eat and it ought to be burned, but it's a bizoyan to burn something that has the Kedusha to be eaten in Yerushalayim, so we don't burn it. But it certainly would remain usher. So then Rav Chisda is wrong? Well, no, maybe it's talking about in Yerushalayim, and it came from a city that actually it was, became, after it brought to Yerushalayim, became the city, became an Ir HaNidachat. But you know what we're talking about over here? We're talking about Maaser Sheni that was Tameh. And since it's Tameh, so therefore, we put it aside, because you're not allowed, it's certainly not the property of the Ir HaNidachat, that's for sure. But you can't eat it because of another reason. It's because it's Tameh. And therefore, we're going to be Gonez it. Why would we be Gonez it? Why can't we be Poda it? Now, I know you're going to tell me that, well, you know why we can't be poda it. Once Maaser Sheni comes into Yerushalayim, you can never be poda it. But that's not true, because according to Rebbe Elazar, and nobody, I don't know that they argue on Rebbe Elazar points out, minayin l'Maaser Sheni shenitma shepodino to afilu b'Yerushalayim, that Maaser Sheni that became Tamei gets a pidyon even if it is in the mechitzas of Yerushalayim. That's because it says in the pasuk, "Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom, lo tuchal se'eto." So then, what does it say? V'tzarta hakesef and so on. So you're paid it. Take the money instead. Now you think that those two things are the same. That ki you're unable to bring it up to Yerushalayim, lo tuchal se'eto. You can't carry it. No. Those are two different things. The Torah doesn't have to explain to me why I can't take it to Yerushalayim. Thank you very much. That's for children books. This is two different issues. If you cannot bring it to Yerushalayim, and, or, lo tuchal se'eto, and that means you cannot eat it for the fact that it's tamei. How do I know se'eto means eating? Because Talmud Lomar, lo tuchal se'eto, ve'in se'et ela achila. We see from the story of Yosef and his brothers in the Chumash that the word se'et means yisa mas'ot me'et panav, eating. So if you can't eat it, you can also be poded, even if it is in Yerushalayim. Therefore, the pasuk is saying two different things. If you're out of Yerushalayim and you cannot bring it up to Yerushalayim, or lo tuchal se'eto, you can't eat it because it's tamei and you're in Yerushalayim, in either case, v'tzarta kesef, you're able to be paid at. So why can't we say that you should be paid at it if you're telling me that it became tummy? Well, we're talking over here not with my Sasheni itself. We're talking over here something that was lakuach with my Sasheni. You had already brought up the money to Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, you bought an animal that you were going to eat. But that animal is a secondary Maaser Sheni. It's called Lakuach. And the din is that Lakuach by Maaser Sheni has the same din. Okay, so then Lifrike, why can't you be Poda it? You still have the problem. Ditznan, HaLakuach because of Maaser Shenitma Yipadeh. Here's the point. It's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says right there in that same Mishnah Maaser Sheni that no, if it's Maaser Lakuach, Yikaver, you can't be Poda it. Why not? Because it's Lo Olim Mitfas Pidyono. It doesn't have the Kayach of Kedusha, since it's not only a secondary Kedusha because it was purchased with the money of Maaser Sheni. It doesn't have the Kayach of the Kedusha to be Nifta, because that Kedusha has to be Toface its value in the money that you're being paid out with, but it can't be Toface its value if it doesn't have the full Kedusha Maaser. Okay. Yeah, it's a great explanation. Except for one minor problem. What the heck is wrong with you? What does this have to do with Irni Dachas, for God's sake? You started explaining the case in the Mishnah with the Irni Dachas, and you got yourself so convoluted. Well, yes, it was in Yerushalayim, but it became Tameh, and it was only a Lakuach, and it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Thank you very much. Now, what does this have to do with the Irni Dachas? This is true about any Maaser Sheni that became Tameh in Yerushalayim. Why are we talking about an Irni Dachas? Obviously, that's not the case in the Mishnah. So, Iyachi, my Irni Dachas? This would be true about any Maaser Sheni anywhere. Nothing to do with Maaser, with the Irni Dachas. Feel the Almanami. Okay. That's embarrassing. All right. So, let's start over again. We're actually talking about, like we thought, regular Tahar Maaser Sheni, right? And it belonged to someone in an Irni Dachas, but it had already come into Yerushalayim before it was an Irni Dachas. And you're right, the Mechitzas were Taifesit, but guess what the Mishnah is talking about? It's talking about the day Yerushalayim was destroyed. So the walls of Yerushalayim had already fallen down. So Kagonda Nafo Mechitzas. And since Rava holds that if there are no Mechitzas, so then the din of Kaltua Mechitzas is Bato Lagabe, the din of Isser taking it out, here's the deal. What a Hechi Timsa of the Mishnah, right? So since, according to Rava says, look, it's true that Mechitzas le'echol d'oraita. This halacha, you have to eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and it needs the mechitzas. Yes, that's a din d'oraita. But the din that we have of klitas mechitzas, namely, that once Maaser Sheni has already gotten into Yerushalayim, it's usur to be poda it, and you can't take it out of Yerushalayim, and therefore it can't be an irani dachat money, and so on. That's only d'rabbanan, you see. And that the Rabbanan were never gozer, that you can't take it out of Yerushalayim if there are no mechitzas. They were only gozer if those mechitzas survive. To gozer Rabbanan echa to is no mechitza, but ki let no mechitza lo.